ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm here. Nobody help me.
All right.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim Ward is on vacation from his vacation.
He is.
So Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, will be filling in live in studio today.
Yes.
And I know when Travis comes in and says you have to get champagne and orange juice for tomorrow morning,
mm-hmm.
you know what that means.
Kathleen Madigan.
Kathleen Madigan will be here live in studio tomorrow. Very, very exciting.
So excited.
You know, we joke about having riders because no one will get me when I ask for it.
Right.
She's serious. She will not show up unless you have unless we have the
mimosas.
You know, right, mimosas, perhaps some flirtinis. All right, so that's on the big show. All right, and he's rudeness, rude pundit.
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, by the way, not for work, not safe for work, his description of what is currently happening to Saddam Hussein in hell. But he also probably has some thoughts about what's happening in
Iraq.
Iraq.
Yeah.
According to rude pundit. All right, you know what? I was not man enough to watch the entire Meet the Press because I knew what it would be. Can I just say one thing? Can I say one thing about America today? You know what is weakening America today? Republicans.
Yeah.
Undermining the president at every turn, and particularly, we've said this before, but in foreign policy, when it is so dangerous, people around the world, it is not that this president, Charlie Pierce wrote a great piece, it's not this president fails to lead or he's weak or whatever the Republican talking point is that everyone overseas knows, no matter what he does,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be denounced and denounced more harshly from Republicans in this country than anyone around the world.
That's right.
And it weakens us because they know that they'll undermine him. I mean, by the way, oh, Stephanie Miller Show world record. Look at this. Let's see. Oh, Julian Seattle sends me. I do believe, based on my observations of your Facebook numbers, almost 3,000 shares. Far and away a world record for a post. And that was John McCain.
Oh, yeah.
Cuddling up with the ISIS terrorists,
yep.
that you posted for us.
Chris. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And that was my phrase, cuddling up with terrorists.
That's what you said.
That's what I
nicely
said.
Nicely done,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
You, we tweeted. When I say we, I mean you.
Me.
Senator John McCain needs to STFU about what President Obama is or isn't doing about the horrors of ISIS in Iraq when there's a picture of McCain from just last year cuddling up with those same terrorists.
Yep.
Isn't that something? Look how close they look. Remember? He was the one that's... Oh, hang on a second. Hang on. Okay. I have too much. I am overly prepared for today's show.
That's an avalanche of material there.
Who said of those same... I have met with these brave fighters, and they are not Al-Qaeda. To the contrary, they are Libyan patriots who want to liberate their nation. We should help them do it. Who said that?
Dianne Feinstein.
No, stupid John McCain. What?
Nothing.
Oh.
I got it wrong.
Yes.
And I'm ashamed.
Yes. Oh, I thought you were trying to. I thought you were filling in for Jim here.
No.
I guessed the quote. Yeah. What was I saying? It is beyond irritating that it's like they don't. And I thought they're going to book him. No one will show that picture. Oh, I saw he was on the CNN State of the Union.
Yeah.
To which you knew that for sure I was not going to be invited back, particularly because I would have brought that along.
I have some of that from State of the Union.
I would have brought that picture along. Oh, it's interesting because you've been kind of wrong about everything, Senator McCain. Interesting, they're asking you once again. Those were the rebels he wanted to arm and put dead. Okay. All right, so he said, if you have it, sure. Why not?
Okay.
These people that are coming to fight on the side of ISIS are returning to their countries in Europe, and there's 100 of them that we are tracking in the United States. As I mentioned to you already, one was in Syria, came back to the United States, and then went back to Syria and blew himself up. Mr. Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, when he left our Camp Buka, the camp in Iraq, said, see you in New York. Their goal, as they have stated openly time after time, is the destruction of the United States of America.
Right. Pardon me. I just burped up a vitamin. It's a little crypt keeper in the back of my throat. Have you read that happen? You know how you describe my nether regions? That's happening in my mouth. A little vitamin just like... Okay. All right. Fine. Whatever point I was going to make is gone now in a little puff of dust. Okay. My point is, he always throws a bunch of names in and makes it seem like he really knows
Bag
better
Daddy,
than anybody.
Mr. Baghdadi.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, why not point out that he's been wrong? But how many other previous times the senator of the Green
Room
has been
on? Would have
been
nice if Candy Crowley had brought that up.
Right. See, that's why I'm not invited back, because I tend to bring up
unfortunate
things
yeah.
like that. Yes, he, of course, blamed the deteriorating situation in Iraq on America's failure to leave forces behind in Iraq. He said, of course, Obama's targeted strikes are not enough. It's never worry enough for Worry McWorrison. That's not a strategy. That's not a policy. Yes, it is.
It's not the policy. Policy.
It's not the policy.
It's not the policy.
It's not the policy. It's simply a very narrow and focused approach to a problem which is metastasizing as we speak. To me, they just lose all credibility because they will never, ever say anything
right.
supportive of the president. I'm telling you, it's just, I know I'm getting old and crotchety. Did you notice I have a bunch of Werther's upstairs?
Yes.
You were here for the party this weekend.
Yes.
That's, well, our listeners, our $1,000 donor listeners at,
on
the,
Friday.
At the lunch
yeah.
gave them to me. But this is who I am now. I am a crotchety.
You're crotchety Werther's lady.
In my dad's day. But it is really true. They just did not conduct foreign policy like this. Do you remember that the phrase was always, we speak with one voice?
Yeah.
And it's like any parents listening know how that goes. Mm-hmm. You can argue behind closed doors in front of the kids. You're supposed to present a united front.
Candy did ask him, why do you always oppose the president on everything that you do? And he said, well, I agreed with him in policy in 2008.
Oh, when he was running against him and
yeah.
saying everything he did was wrong? Really? I don't remember that. Huh. Clyde the Slide, tweets.
Clyde the Slide?
Yes, that's his handle.
Is that appropriate for air?
Not sure.
All right.
GOP, the president that authorized the Iraq troop withdrawal plan should be impeached. Oh, wait, guess who it was? Oh, that's right. It was George W. Bush. What's another reason we could throw on the impeachment
trial?
Sure. On November 17th, 2008, that was before President Obama
right.
was president. U.S. and Iraqi officials signed the Status of Forces Agreement stating that all the United States forces shall withdraw from all Iraqi territory no later than December 31st, 2011. Because of the fiery freedom that George Bush had brought them. See, that was the whole point. They're sovereign.
That
they're
is
sovereign,
the force
sovereign nation.
Of human freedom.
Sovereignty
freedom
means
in all the world. Freedom, freedom's
right,
cause.
Right.
Free dissent.
And as you recall, I think he was an explainer. The guy was a decider and explainer, and he said, it's a sovereign nation. That means they're sovereign. They have sovereignty or something.
Whatever.
That's one of those things that stuck in my head, him explaining.
Yeah.
But he would often explain a word by using the same word.
Yeah. I think Bush was under the impression that freedom fixes everything. Not really.
Yeah,
even,
that.
You know,
thanks
we... people of the Gaza Strip had freedom, and they elected Hamas, which
right.
is leading to some problems.
That was
today.
Also George Bush's. No, do it now. Do
yeah.
it now. I'm decider guy. You guys got to decide now.
Yeah.
Israel's like, not now, because they're going to elect Hamas. No, do it. Got to take action.
Freedom.
Do it.
They got freedom.
Freedom. Sovereignty.
They'll choose their own
which
thing.
Which means they're sovereign. Okay.
Hmm.
Jim in Minneapolis writes, come on, Republicans, I double dog dare you to trash the president for using excessive force just to protect a mere consulate. Go there. Take the bait, bitches. Jim in Minneapolis taunting our
yeah.
friends. But they will. That's one of the reasons, obviously, he cited as our own consulates and embassies
yeah.
in Baghdad. And
yeah.
then, I forget the name of the other.
Erbil? I think it's Erbil.
Wow, I've learned a lot more about religion over the weekend. Reading, have you been reading all the... and I'm not normally with Bill Maher on all of... You know what I mean? Like, I'm not an atheist like you, actually. I'm a...
I know.
Right. But
you're spiritual.
Right. I'm privately religious.
Whatever.
All right. How would you know? It's private. But my point is, have you read the sect that's being, slaughtered and pushed into the mountains.
Yeah, they're a Christian sect, aren't they?
They believe in a peacock angel, and that's the name of their something. Is
okay.
That's what it's called.
All right.
But the ISIS Islamic people think it's a devil worshipping religion, and the other people say it's not, and so that's why they're...
Religion sucks.
Wow.
Religion sucks.
Oh, let's see if we can find this audio as well. Speaking of Grampy. Huh. Audio of McCain calling ISIS moderates from September 2013. Remember when he got back from his illegal trip to Syria in September 2013 and ran around insisting that he had met with the moderates in Syria? I mean, seriously, before he gets asked on TV again, how about you just float one little, hey, you remember last time the thing you said turned out to be completely wrong? Anyway, because remember he was all about, like, we're not doing enough in Syria. Mm-hmm. We got our own head.
Mm-hmm.
He was explaining to the Fox bots that yelling Allahu Akbar when you kill people is just like saying thank God. So he was defending these same ISIS guys that now were...
The ones he was cuddling
up
with.
And here, can I just tell you, I'll wait till after the break. Okay. But the most magical part of this story, Brian Kilmeade is smarter than John McCain in this exchange. And that's how you know perhaps it's time to stop booking. Okay. I mean John McCain. Okay. That is spectacular.
Yeah.
Brian Kilmeade caught the nuance of something happening there before John McCain did. Just saying. All right.
President Give Me Turkey wants to know if privately religious is anything like magically delicious.
Yes, it's exactly like that. Yes, it is. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Rude pundit at the bottom of the hour. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio today.
Yes.
Filling in for the vacationing Jim Ward, who is vacationing from his vacation.
Yeah.
From the show for right now.
Huh.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Okay, this is precious. First of all, it's a story about Brian Kilmeade not being the dumbest guy in the room.
That's unusual.
He was on... John McCain was on a tour back when he was... I forget which treasonous tour it was, going overseas to undermine the president's foreign policy.
Sure.
But it was when he was spooning with the terrorists. And it looked like there was a couple of reach-arounds there in that picture of him.
I think there was.
With the actual ISIS terrorists
yeah.
that he said were moderates and we should arm them, and they're the ones now. Okay.
$10 says there was
a
spit swap.
I
think so.
There is a screen cap dithering on Syria. Not that, because they're fair and balanced, so I'm sure the implication was not that the president is dithering on Syria.
Right.
But I guess that would be the subject of the... So John McCain ripped into Fox News host Brian Kilmeade for his criticism of a Syrian rebels chanting Allahu Akbar. On Fox and Friends, Kilmeade told McCain, who has been a constant advocate for U.S. intervention in Syria,
mm-hmm.
that he had concerns over the Syrian rebels' alleged ties to extremists. Kilmeade played a clip of an explosion on government-held territory in Syria, after which a rebel shouts, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem helping those people screaming that after a hit, Kilmeade said. McCain, clearly annoyed, said, would you have a problem with an American saying, thank God, thank God? That's what they're saying. Come on, of course they're Muslims, but they're moderates, and I guarantee you they're moderates. Oh, is he ever not been wrong about anything? I know them, and I've been with them. See aforementioned reach around.
Mm-hmm.
For someone to say Allahu Akbar is about as offensive as someone saying thank God. Yeah, except that those are the guys that are right.
Well, I mean, he is right. I mean, a person who says Allahu Akbar is saying thank God.
Right. Yes, he is correct about that, but his whole point
right.
was in saying,
I
I can guarantee you these are moderates. Oh, my God. Okay, can I just say, let that sink in for a minute. Brian Kilmeade. Okay.
He's one of the ferns.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
That sits on that couch.
Andy in Delaware, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andy.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie and folks. I have a question that it seems to be the answer is, not been coming through. Who is financially and militarily supporting these ISIS militants? Who is doing that?
That's a good question.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
Don't know.
I heard
find it.
It was the I'd heard it was the Saudis.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I read some analysis this weekend that said it was the Saudis, yeah.
Well, I have a suggestion then.
Mm-hmm.
Why does every pundit, everybody who mentions their name, preface it by saying the Saudi-backed ISIS militant, you know, fighters?
Because the oil companies would not allow that. All goes back to money.
Yeah.
Let's call them out. Let's call them out.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, it was, Andy, I mean, after 9/11, it was like, that was just sort of a, just a random fun fact that most of the 9/11 terrorists were from Saudi Arabia, you know? I mean, you're right, there is not, in fact, Charlie Pierce writes a great piece about, you know, what the president is doing. He said it is beyond reproach what President Obama is doing right now, but he does a great analysis, as he does, of this whole thing. He said, first of all, it helps to have a sense of history. He said, which long-term moral doubt of the extended Bush family would you like to discuss first? The one that Junior locked the country in by kicking over the hornet's nest in order to drain the swamp, or the one Poppy ran up by selling the Kurds down the river in 1991? If there's one family that best symbolizes the historic price paid by the people of Iraq by a century of Western bungling in that part of the world, it's the Bushes. Thank
right.
you, Charlie. Anyway, but he ties in. He said, when the president announced last night and what the president did today strikes me as being beyond reproach. ISIS is a legitimately sacrificing, a legitimately scarifying group, death-maddened fanatics with a taste for religious insanity and public executions. There is little doubt they would make a bloody shrapnel out of every man, woman, and child on that mountain. Every other alleged power in the region, including Al-Qaeda, are scared witless of these people and what they're seeking to create. Yeah, I mean, that is the insane thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is Al-Qaeda sitting there going, what a bunch of holes these guys are.
Yeah.
These guys are nuts.
Great.
So Charlie writes, when Andrew Mitchell meeps away on TV that Jordan and Saudi Arabia are reluctant to provide military aid in a crisis in their own neighborhood because the president won't quote-unquote lead,
mm-hmm.
she's letting those two countries off a pretty enormous hook. If our allies, quote-unquote, are threatened, as I keep hearing over and over again, then our allies need to do something. And why do I think that for the Saudis in particular, the answer to this crisis is going to be, let's let other people die while we buy the crazy people off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the caller makes a great point. Yes, sir.
Yeah, according to an article on the Daily Beast, ISIS has been funded for a long time by Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. And apparently, Kuwait's banking system allows for the laundering of money to go from these countries into ISIS.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Charlie finishes with a great line, as he always does. The whole thing is a damnable mess, and there is no good solution. This is a murderous religious fanaticism run amok, mm-hmm. and the modern mind occasionally fails to grasp what it's all about. I mean, like this latest thing, didn't you have to read all the analysis? I was like, wait a minute, who are these people, and what do they believe in, and why are these people killing each other, mm-hmm. and what, you know? He said there's absolutely no constituency in the United States for another large American military commitment in Iraq. There's absolutely no indication that any other country will step up, and that's not because the president's alleged lack of quote-unquote leadership. It's because America's credibility in that part of the world was drained to dry over the last half century. Thank you, Charlie. Oy. Okay, let me do Robbie real quick in Florida. Hello, Robbie. Welcome.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Stephanie, for your show, and
thank you
for Free Speech TV.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tie in my hope for our country is to get out of any involvements, any wars, that are basically at the root just about protecting oil,
mm-hmm.
protecting oil platforms, oil interests, oil exploration, and turn to a sustainable economy based
yeah.
on
like, yeah.
Florida Power and Light.
Well, and, you know, Robbie, we all said this. We all said this during the solar plant.
Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I was saying we settled this all in the run-up to Iraq. Is what did we think was going to happen, as
well,
Charlie describes it, when you thwack the hornet's nest?
If I want to buy a solar situation, you know, electric generating system that would feed back into the grid for my house, I can't afford it. And we should be subsidizing
yep.
these things. We should
yep.
be manufacturing them here, go back to making things in this country.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, making things other than war.
Yep.
All right, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
James Woods promised to introduce me to
Stephanie Miller.
But instead, he introduced me to Danny Bonaducci. Tell you, that guy looks like a dog turning 30.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Comedian Rick Overton live in studio with us today. Live? 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Monday.
Yeah. Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
I already warned the kids that the whole description of what is currently happening to Saddam Hussein in hell is not safe. Not safe for school computers or work.
No. You'd just hold the beep button down, so.
Yeah.
Remember we had that whole...
You could say the word spiked. There you go.
There you go.
Well, we had a whole conversation about whether penises have changed or not since the last time I saw one. Apparently in hell they're very fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like pitchforks.
Sure.
Oh, who knew?
Ow.
Okay. And if that's what your particular sect believes, then good for you. Yes, quotes that make Saddam Hussein laugh his ass off down in hell. You say, down in hell, Saddam Hussein got a few laughs when he heard about the destruction of the country he once ruled. Can't wait to taunt Bush and Cheney about this when they get here, he said. Before, the thing I can't mention, it's not safe for work.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible, right? The fact that, you know, you and a lot of people were saying this in the run-up, like, what did they think was going to happen when you upset... You know, the whole Sunni-Shiite balance there, this was always going to happen, right, whenever America left.
Right. And, you know, you were reading Charlie Pierce earlier about, you know, which Bush do you want to blame? And, you know, and I say we go back even further to, you know, to Reagan arming Saddam Hussein.
Right.
And, you know, how often are we going to have to fight people who are fighting with arms or financing that we gave them?
Yeah. That's exactly it, Rude, as you always say, because you are a professor.
Yeah.
You always give the kids some book learning mm-hmm. on the recent history, but you're right. It's like you have to understand all that to understand how this happened. And I think as Jim was saying last week, first of all, it starts with Iran. When are we going to learn about meddling in the Middle East like this, right?
Well, you could go around the world actually with that, meddling
yeah.
in South America, all of that. But you know, at this point, how many? What is saddest about the Obama presidency is how much has been eaten up by just cleaning up the friggin' mess left behind. And
yeah.
you know, people are now saying, "Oh, this is Obama's fault." Because he took the troops out, not people. Conservatives
yeah.
are saying
right.
because he took the troops. They aren't people.
We don't mean to refer to them as people. The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes. Okay.
Right. to people everywhere. There's, but you know, how often I totally lost my train of
yeah. thought. Yeah, no. I mean, I think this was the point I was starting to make off the top of the show. It's just that is, to me, what weakens America the most in the world is they know no matter what this president does, the other political party in this country will not have his back.
That's
and
right.
will not speak with one voice and will not and will criticize him as having done something wrong. That's what makes us appear weak, right?
Right. Even when he's in this impossible position of trying to figure out, you know, how much to intervene in what is obviously a humanitarian situation and trying to prevent a genocide.
Right.
And, you know, you want to make, you know, he could have gone, yes, there are steps he could have taken. He could have gone to the UN and gotten UN approval for some kind of, but that would have, you know, harkened back to Bush also. And
right.
instead, you know, it's the Colin Powell pottery barn rule, you know, we broke it, we bought it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Bush was the one who broke it, but America is the one that bought it.
Right. Well, I mean, but that's what I'm saying is imagine what that looks like around the world. I mean, look at where our image was in the world when Bush and Cheney were in. And as you say, now here comes President Obama trying to clean up their mess. And all they see is them blaming President Obama before mm-hmm. anybody else. Did you hear anybody condemn ISIS on the shows? No. That's the incredible thing is they jump to criticize the president before the terrorists, whether it's Benghazi or anywhere, right?
Well, I mean, I'll put aside. I don't think there's anything wrong with criticizing the president on something. I mean, I want to know how long this is going to last. Now they're talking about this lasting months and all of that. But, you know, to immediately condemn him and say that everything he did was wrong when you only have to go back, it's the lack of context and the short-term memory loss that is just so ridiculous in this.
Yep.
And, you know, it was Cheney. Cheney was out there saying they can't blame George Bush anymore about what's going on in Iraq. And I'm like, no, of course we can. We wouldn't be in Iraq. We would still be, you know, going, oh, isn't it a shame that Saddam Hussein, that guy we put in power, is torturing his people still.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and speaking of, you know me, I like my news happy clappy on the president, but I mean, I have to say your piece about torture, I mean, I think it does, when you watch this whole, like, Iraq war redux and all of these Bush administration people that were wrong getting asked what we should do, I mean, I do go back and go, why, again, did we take impeachment off the table for something that is actually an impeachable offense instead of, you know... And you're talking about the torture thing, and you just were saying, why didn't, you know, how could he say what he said without saying, and we're going to prosecute those who did it and those who ordered it?
Yeah, why did we take that off the table? And I've said for a long time that that one of the reasons that Obama was elected was because people wanted to see those who had driven the country into the ground, both morally and economically, punished. Not just, okay, we're going to just move ahead here and not look behind, but, you know, let's say...
Well, and that was, thought, right, is that, oh, let's, you know, not look back, we're moving forward, and people are going to, you know, the American people will see that as vindictive or blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's before, I don't even think you and I could have imagined this parade of I don't even know what, I'm not even sure what the latest impeachable offense is. He used something that wasn't a number two pencil or something, I don't even... It's like we're like,
wait.
Oh, if we're fair, they'll be fair too. It's like, no.
Oh no, wait for it. Ted Cruz is saying now that because Obama didn't come to Congress about bombing protect the Iraqis to stop ISIS, I bet you that that's going to be the new thing.
First of all, Iraq asked us, so that's huge in international law. They invited us and asked for help.
But he didn't ask Congress, and now of course, you know, of course, Congress wants to act on this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's sort of stunning just when you, particularly with all the you know, this latest documentary on HBO about Nixon, you're just like. Okay, do you understand what actual impeachable, what actual high crimes and misdemeanors are? Is that history too long ago? Right.
Right. If you're on tape saying, you know, use the powers of the government to get my enemies, yeah, that's an impeachable offense. You know, doing something, you know, postponing a law in a totally legal way is not an impeachable offense. But yeah, we've dumbed down what impeachable offenses are, and you know, one of the good things that's been coming out in this resignation anniversary time is that we're trying to get past the whitewashing of Nixon's crime.
Yeah,
and say no, it wasn't just the cover up; it was that he ordered these things to happen.
Right, and you're like, and even more tapes. You're like, wow, he was even more a horrible racist bastard and. In addition to being a criminal than we previously thought.
Yeah, and anti-Semite. That's love when that's the stuff when he comes out. I'm sorry, Nixon saying Jews should be like somebody's ringtone.
Yeah.
Get those Jews.
And the way he says the word Jews.
Oh, God.
Exactly, yeah. Jews.
Too many syllables.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had a crappy childhood because of the Jews.
Normally, the people that say Jahoos, if they say Jahizus, there's always too many syllables exactly in the
yeah.
So, by the way, I'd seen this story, but I loved your piece on. You said a new story brings up an old death, and you say, I don't know if Rude Pundits told you the story of his friend Ronald, the black gay actor from Louisiana who died in 1989. You know, interesting story too about like what exactly has happened in America when. You give a whole like contrast to the story. We'll get to the story is another guy that just died of AIDS and the church wouldn't do a service for him.
No, he didn't die of AIDS.
Oh, I'm sorry, but he was gay, and so they wouldn't even have the funeral because he was gay. right?
Right, right. It wasn't even that he had the AIDS. It was that just that he had the gay.
Right.
Right. I mean, this is a really remarkable story. You say Ronald's sister got up to give a eulogy, and this is again in Louisiana, mm-hmm. in 1989 in a black church, and you said she got up to give a eulogy, and the very first thing she said in Lafayette, Louisiana church in 1989 during a time of continuing paranoia about the disease and a rising number of deaths and infections, that Ronald was gay and he died of AIDS. And you said no one, not a single person in that church, which was filled with people of all ages, offered anything but sympathetic amens and uh-huhs. If you're too young to remember that time or weren't around, you cannot grasp how amazing this was, considering the sheer amount of fear and bigotry that surrounded the disease and gay people in general. There were only sadness and tears for the loss of Ronald. The pastor of the church blessed him and all of us for being there. And then you cut to today, right? 2014.
Yeah.
And this is in Tampa, Florida, right?
This ridiculous story of this guy who died, Julian Evans, and his family, there were going to be so many, this guy was so beloved, there were going to be hundreds of people at the funeral. And so they arranged for the funeral to be at this church that several of the family members attended, New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And then when the obituary came out and mentioned Evans's husband, Kendall Capers, I guess members of the congregation of the church got upset. And so they canceled the funeral there.
Ugh.
Wow. And you said he was, they'd noticed it in the obituary that he had a husband. They'd been together for 17 years. And the pastor said, being a man of God, I have to stand up for my principles. And you say, even if those principles are as ungodly and anti-Christian as they can possibly be. But, I mean, what do you think, what do you attribute that to? That you know, when we've had such a march forward in gay rights, that this happened in 2014?
I think it's that retrenchment that goes on whenever there is an advancement in rights for people, that there's going to be a contingent of people, mm-hmm. who are going to step back very strongly and try to pull things backward. And luckily, you know, we look at a story like this, and most people, and I believe most people in this country will look at that story and be appalled by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say that, you know, that's how totally unchristian, anti-human that is.
Yeah.
Say, because we disagree, because we don't acknowledge that that his life was worth value.
Yeah.
We're going to do this.
It's very subtle, but it's of a theme on my show that I always just say, what has happened to this Republican Party, you know, and whether it's foreign affairs, like I was saying, I can't imagine what my dad and Goldwater think. Like, that was like an ironclad rule. We speak with one voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, overseas as Americans, even if we have our, you know, our fights and our arguments here. But, I mean, the other thing is, like I've said often, Barry Goldwater very openly pro-gay rights. I'm looking at this. There was a Rand Paul piece. I don't know if you saw this. One of his staffers said martyrs need to stop gay marriage. David Lane, who is running Rand Paul's outreach to evangelical voters for his potential presidential run, he wrote a completely unhinged column at WorldNet Daily.
Oh, God.
That then WorldNet Daily took down because it was too crazy.
Wow.
Calling on Christians to become more martyrs in order to stop same-sex marriage.
Does that mean we need Christian suicide bombers showing up at,
yeah.
at same-sex weddings?
Yeah, something too incendiary for WorldNet Daily. But you know, what is up with that? And then he had the other guy that was wasn't he like a white supremacist? What, the something Avenger? One of his guys was
the Southern Avenger, yeah. Or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've heard of the Southern Avenger. What did he do? What does he want?
No, it's just someone else, oddly, on Ron.
What does that a-hole want?
Yeah.
This is that guy. Oh, yeah, isn't that, this is that Jack Hunter. I think I actually wrote about this. This is the guy that wore the wrestling mat. The wrestling
right.
mat.
That's right.
The Confederate flag. Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy. I love that guy.
Right. But I just mean, I think they're trying to, like, you know, these guys trying to run for president, they try to cloak themselves in, oh, no, I'm very moderate and mainstream. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
What I love is that guy calling himself libertarian.
Yeah.
You know? You're libertarian as long as you believe the same things as I believe. As long as I can smoke dope and hate everybody, I'm
right.
Fine.
Yeah, I saw there was a piece. I don't know if you saw New York Times Magazine about libertarians and how, you know, the Rand Paul types may appeal to the younger generation. I'm like, you know, because I think that's what I mean. I think a lot of it is they're cloaking actual. I love this. There was a line from it. Republicans always saw libertarians as nice to have around in case they wanted to score some weed. I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I mean, and that's always, you know, when I would argue in 2008 and 2012 with people that were Ron Paul supporters, I was like, you just want him because he wants to legalize drugs, you know?
Right.
At least be honest.
Yeah.
Say that. He wants to legalize drugs and he wants to, you know, get out of Iraq at that point.
Right, and you're too high to realize that the rest of what he says is insane.
Right, and I think that's actually part of the strategy.
There you
go. That's the Rand Paul strategy. Get you so high you don't notice what an absolutely appalling human being.
And what how appalling his shirts are. Let's just start with that.
Bow down, Aqua Buddha!
All right, Rudeness. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
Bye. 49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 54 minutes after the hour. Comedian Rick Overton live in studio. Coming up on, and Kathleen Madigan tomorrow. Very, very exciting.
Yeah, all 3 hours.
Right with mimosas. Don't miss a minute of it. Oh, all right. Oh, did you see? I retweeted this. Julie did some copious research on Rand Paul's shirt,
yes.
Which, by the way, it looks like it's made out of gum. LOL, Chris.
It kind of looks like it's made out of fruit stripe gum. You're right.
Yes.
Remember fruit stripe gum?
No, you said that, and I must have missed it, because I don't really listen to you. But that was very funny. Good job.
Oh.
I don't remember saying that. It does look like it's made of gum.
I don't remember saying that either.
Mm. Anyway,
I said it looked like a Farrell's uniform.
Yes, it does. But you did say it looks like gum at one point.
Oh, all right.
Rand Paul ran from Two Dreamers wearing a Ralph Lauren shirt, only available in boys' sizes. And she did copious research. It is the actual shirt, and that is, it's a boy's shirt.
Well, he's a teeny tiny little man.
That. Yeah, I tweeted that. Yeah. She said it's if the mainstream media is going to fawn over this naked emperor, it's our job to point and yell he wears no clothes, or actually he wears incredibly teensy clothes, which is true. Yeah, there it is, boy's shirt, that horrible, horrible shirt. But Rand Paul's your man, mainstream media.
Yeah. Arizona State University.
Last night, two immigration activists confronted Republican from Kentucky, Senator Rand Paul.
Sometimes it's hard when you're a-running.
Now let's get to this Rand Paul clip.
Trying to be the president.
By now, you may have seen the video of the move by Rand Paul.
Pablo Espanol, 'cause after all, your name is Rand.
Rand Paul, leaving his burger and running away.
Rand Paul, your man.
Risky dabble.
If history stands behind you, an exit door to run to when Mexicans ask questions. Rand Paul's your
who takes one bite of a burger and leaves? What kind of American, I ask you?
Know the white still love him. He's given all the bucks you can.
What did I say yesterday? What kind of real American leaves after burger?
Rand Paul's your man.
Wow. Rocky Mountain Mike and Marion Ann Arbor.
Knocking that out of the park.
With them pipes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just posted the link to that on Stephanie Miller Facebook.
Thank you. By the way, Charlie Pierce's 5-minute rule for any member of the Paul family.
Yeah.
Things will make sense to exactly the 5-minute mark. Ron Paul says U.S. likely hiding the truth about the MH17 crash. I don't know if you remember, days after the tragedy, the plane that was shot down.
Right.
He suggested at the time the U.S. might be partly to blame for the crash.
What?
He said yesterday he thinks the U.S. government knows a lot more than it's letting on about the Malaysia Airlines flight and is likely hiding the truth. He said the U.S. government has grown strangely quiet on the accusation that it was Russia or her allies that brought down the Malaysian airliner with an anti-aircraft missile. The little we've heard from U.S. intelligence that it has no evidence that Russia was involved, yet the war propagandists were successful in convincing the American people it was all Russia's fault. See what I mean?
I see what you mean.
Right. He must have been talking for exactly 5 minutes before that.
Yeah. By the way, it was Carlos that said the shirt looked like gum.
Okay. 58. I gave you credit anyway.
Thanks.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why is it time to feel good? Because Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio.
Yep.
We asked him to come early because Eric Bollard is traveling and has to be rescheduled.
Yes.
However, he is a comedian, and we got a text from him at
1 a.m.
1 a.m., so fingers crossed. Otherwise, he'll be here all next
hour. He said at 1 a.m., see you in a few hours. So, don't know if we'll...
If you live near Rick, go knock on his window. Tell him to get up. Okay, and Kathleen Madigan, speaking of comedians extraordinaire, live in studio all 3 hours tomorrow with mimosas.
That's right.
Don't miss that. All right. By the way, a lot of would you like some fun facts about that are actually not so fun about George Bush's administration in addition to the lovely gift of Iraq that he left us?
Okay.
So it's a graphic going around the interwebs summing up W's legacy. The Bush tax cuts, remember when we were in two wars, remember that?
Right.
Cost Americans $6.6 trillion. With all that money, we could have paid off all student loans in the United States, all automobile loans, all credit card debt, and left every citizen in the U.S. with around $7,500 in their pockets. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Oh, that was in Daily Coast. Yeah.
Thanks, Coast.
Thanks, W. Thanks. Thanks for all the fiery freedom in Iraq. Oh, here's some news that we needed. The FAA is halting flights over Iraq. Because I was just about to book a Malaysia Airlines flight over Iraq, because that's, I think that's probably wise, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the second time in 2 months the FAA has banned U.S. airlines from flying over international areas of conflict. They halted all flights over Israel, as you recall, because of missile concerns. The FAA issued a notice restricting U.S. operators from flying over.
I think after what happened in Ukraine, there should be an abundance of caution.
Well, let's ask Ron Paul what happened. He seems to think we might be responsible.
Great.
Something crazy. All right. President Obama talking about the crisis in Iraq.
As Commander-in-Chief, I will not allow the United States to be dragged into fighting another war in Iraq. American combat troops will not be returning to fight in Iraq because there's no American military solution to the larger crisis there. What we will do is continue our broader strategy in Iraq. We will protect our citizens. We will work with the international community to address this humanitarian crisis. We'll help prevent these terrorists from having a permanent safe haven from which to attack America. And we'll continue to urge Iraqi communities to reconcile, come together, and fight back against these terrorists so the people of Iraq have the opportunity for a better future.
As we said, it was so shocking to absolutely nobody that John McCain, of course, was on the TV yesterday saying the president's doing it. I don't know what he's doing. He's doing it wrong. He's not doing it enough.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been better if we'd had President McCain and, of course, Vice President Palin.
What?
And as I said, I tweeted out the picture of him with the same ISIS terrorists. Remember when he went over on his treason tour to Syria to say the president was doing that wrong?
Right.
And he insisted those were moderates, the ones that he's cuddling with.
Yes.
Spooning.
He was Big Spoon.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he said on Fox News, I can guarantee you these are moderates. Okay. So they once again asked him what he thinks we should do now in Iraq, and what exactly the president is doing wrong. Just a little for giggles.
Okay.
Okay, if there were a Vice President Palin, and because everything would have would magically be better, as you know, if John McCain.
Sure.
If we had had the good sense to elect John McCain and heartbeat from the presidency, Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've had a chance to peruse the new Sarah Palin channel, but we do it so you don't have to.
Right.
So I believe this was sort of like a parody of, so Elizabeth Warren gave a very well-received speech at Netroots.
Right. About fast food workers, making minimum wage and how they should make more than minimum
right.
wage.
So this is what Sarah Palin had to say about that.
We believe, I thought fast food joints, don't you guys think that they're like of the devil or something? That's what liberals,
again?
You want to send those evil employees who would dare work at a fast food joint that you just don't believe in, thought you wanted to, send them to purgatory or something. So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know. They're not often discussed in purgatory, are they? I don't know. Why are you even worried about fast food wages? Because,
oh, my God.
I love how she just trails off.
Okay. I know that same guy is going to call back and say that when the revolution happens and the overthrow and she's in charge.
Oh, please call back, sir. Please call back.
And I will be hung from a tree.
Tree.
Because I think I implied that it seemed like she might have been drunk in that last speech that she gave in Denver. Is that regular incoherence or is that drunken incoherence? It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell. I mean.
See, so now we don't even have.
She had Permigrin. So she had Permigrin while she was doing that because this was on camera. And so when people have Permigrin, that's usually a sign of.
So this is
being
what they
drunk.
Think is a good idea, to just have cameras in every room in the house. And whenever she has something to say, she thinks of something, they just flip a switch.
Flip a switch.
So it could be at any time. Could be at cocktail hour, post-cocktail hour. Could be,
whatever.
If she does it with her hair in curlers, I will pay cash money for that screen cap.
Okay. So these are her sort of unvarnished thoughts without any, writers or anybody to spruce it up or anything.
Mm-hmm. There's no teleprompter or anything. Mm-hmm. She's kind of off the cuff.
Yeah. Oh, well, I bet you she would have been able to solve what's happening in Iraq just off the cuff. They would have just asked her. She probably would have had some very,
There was not a complete sentence in that 31 seconds of audio.
Did I mention that once again John McCain was on the Sunday shows because they were asking him what his judgment was on something? Because, see, that would be John McCain, that was his judgment that person was qualified to be vice president and presumably president of the United States.
I see.
Okay. So that obviously would have been a much, that would have been a much better choice. Okay. All right. Back to the, Okay, let's play compare and contrast.
She makes me itch.
Current commander-in-chief.
The United States cannot and should not intervene every time there's a crisis in the world. But when there's a situation like the one on this mountain, when countless innocent people are facing a massacre, and when we have the ability to prevent it, the United States cannot just look away. That's not who we are. We're Americans. We act. We lead. And that's what we're going to do on that mountain. As one American who wrote to me yesterday said, it's the right thing to do.
Wait, can we go back to the Sarah Palin? Just
did something occur to you?
Does anybody even? Do you get any of her jokes?
No.
In the when she does a
no.
thing,
because
she thinks is
she starts the joke and then trails off, like she started a joke but realized that it probably wasn't funny, so she just kind of
And what Democrat ever said they were against fast food places?
I ate at one over the weekend. Actually,
okay,
I love them.
Okay, but. How does purgatory come into this? I'm going back to fast food wages and purgatory
and veganism in there was something about vegans in there too.
Okay, I gotta hear it one more time.
All right.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay, here we go.
Okay.
We believe. I thought fast food joints. Don't you guys think that they're like of the devil or something? That's what liberals. You want to send those evil employees who would dare work at a fast food joint that you just don't believe in. Thought you wanted to, send them to purgatory or something. So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know. They're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
What?
I don't know. Why are you even worried about fast food wages? Because.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, I thought, do you ever get that? Does a hair on the back of your neck go up when you think about her being vice president? Do you just,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
I'm a Democrat, and I had one of those Taco Bell breakfast tacos over the weekend.
In purgatory, presumably.
In purgatory.
Right.
With wages.
We would send people that work it for it, because, okay.
I love fast food restaurants.
Jason in D.C., you're on the, I believe In-N-Out is what a hamburger is all about.
There you go.
Personally.
Yeah.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
I'm going through this, and I'm trying to figure this out. You have a group of people where they're possibly crucifying and burying children alive.
My God.
Mm-hmm. But they're now Quakers, and they won't pick up arms to defend themselves. So this tells me that in 6 months or a year from now, if something happens again, they're just going to sit there again and do nothing.
Well, I mean,
your family, would you pick up a gun?
Look, the president said this, that there is no United States military solution to this.
No.
It is horrific. The whole thing is horrific. And I love the other talking point on TV about, oh, they're using the weapons, the U.S. It's like, oh, yeah, because that's never happened.
Right.
And meaning the U.S. Army that George Bush sent in, it's like, yes, this is what happens in war. We then armed the Iraqi army. This is where they got the weapons from. As our caller alluded to, ISIS militants have killed, I'm not even sure if the number is higher now, but at least 500 members, mm-hmm, of what they're saying, of Iraq's Yazidi ethnic minority during their offensive in the north. Iraq's human rights minister said yesterday, they say that the Sunni militants have buried alive some of their victims, including women and children. Some 300 women were kidnapped as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing is horrific. A deadline passed at midday on Sunday for 300 Yazidi families to convert to Islam or face death at the hands of ISIS. So they seized Sinjar, I guess is the ancient home of the Yazidis, one of the towns captured by the Sunni militants. They viewed their community as devil worshippers, as I was saying last hour.
Because they had a butterfly angel or something, you said? Peacock angel.
I don't know if it's their god, that it's what they, anyway. They're followers of an ancient religion derived from Zoroastrianism?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay, are spread over northern Iraq and are part of the country's Kurdish minority. I mean, it really is hard to keep track of what, you know, the Kurds, I guess, I was reading some analysis, Chris, the Kurds are actually doing better than anybody, or
yeah,
at least they've, like, adapted. I mean, this is what the president is saying. You can't really, you know, we can't mediate these disputes for what, like a few more centuries or something? I mean, they're just, it's hard to even...
Something has to be done.
Yeah. It would have been good if the last president had actually known there was a difference between Shiites and Sunnis, because that might
And Kurds.
Have, yeah. Right. Right. Exactly. The president, one more time, yesterday. President.
There is no doubt that their advance, their movement,
ISIS,
over the last several months has been more rapid than... the intelligence estimates and the expectations of policymakers both in and out of, outside of Iraq. And part of that is, I think, not a full appreciation of the degree to which the Iraqi security forces, when they're far away from Baghdad, did not have the incentive or the capacity to hold the ground against an aggressive adversary.
Yeah, I think progress to the breakdown of why we're... Because a lot of times people do go, why are we doing here,
right,
and we didn't do it there? I mean, there's a number of reasons, the first of which the Iraqis invited us, which, as I was saying last, mm-hmm, hour, is huge under international law.
Sure.
Minorities have been targeted specifically, as we were just talking about, ISIS campaign of terror against the innocent, including Yazidi and Christian minorities, and its grotesque and targeted acts of violence bear all the warning signs and hallmarks of a genocide, mm-hmm, said John Kerry. And as the president said, Americans are in danger. In recent days, not that the Republicans would ever,
oh no,
you know, politicize anything about embassies. In recent days, these terrorists have continued to move across Iraq and have neared the city of Erbil, where American diplomats and civilians serve at our consulate, and American military personnel advise Iraqi forces. So, it was a combination of reasons,
sure.
But. Anyway, Charlie Pierce wrote, I was saying this morning that what the president is doing, he thinks, is beyond reproach. Unless, of course, you're Senator McCain. And the well-known Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
What did you print?
The phone book, apparently.
Did you print the entire comment section of something, too?
Oh, dear. Probably.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how to. Okay. All right. 25 minutes after the hour. Comedian Rick Overton on his way in. Yep. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. The Greg in Florida. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just called. I have a comment. Number one, I think you need to resign yourself to the fact that Sundays in America is Bash Obama Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about Sunday morning television, but it seems like they've done some sort of focus group and they go out of their way to do this. John McCain, if there were a Republican in the White House right now, John McCain and Lindsey Graham would be praising the president.
Yeah.
Having done what he did over the weekend. There was a lot of success in the airstrikes. I understand it's a long haul, but they saved lives this weekend. And there's no mission accomplished banner in this one. He's not flying in on an aircraft carrier. He's getting the nation ready for a longer haul, but McCain and Graham would be applauding if it were a Republican in the White House.
Yeah.
That's point one.
Right.
Point two, meet the press. I don't know what qualifies David Gregory, Chuck Todd, and the editor of the National Review to engage in rank speculation on what if Obama had done this instead of that. I'm listening to this, and they preface everything, well, the president knows more than we do, and then they go on to criticize him as if they still have the answer. I don't
yeah,
understand.
I love the, he opened with, is it going to work? It's like, well, how do you, you know what I mean? Like, you're right, all just armchair generals.
It's pure armchair quarterbacking, and the last point I want to make, and it relates to this, it also relates to Hillary.
Yes.
I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I think yesterday she all but announced, we all knew it, but I think yesterday was very clear. I think the comment she made on Syria was another example of speculation. I have trouble understanding how they could know if they had armed the rebels in Syria that our arms and potentially our training would not have benefited.
Well, this is why, Greg, I mean, I tweeted this picture of John McCain
mm-hmm.
with these exact ISIS guys that he said swore were moderates. He's over there pictured with them.
Yeah, I've been saying that for weeks since this
right.
rose going. I don't understand why the media is not grilling McCain and Graham as to why it is they were advocating the support of the rebels, looking at who the rebels turned out to be. And nobody's followed down that trail. And I think that tweet's exactly right. I think we need to get behind the president. I think we need to stop the armchair quarterbacking and do what Republicans would do if a Republican were in the White House. Get behind the president in the time of a national crisis. He's actually doing a good job right now with this crisis.
Well,
and it's a long haul, but...
And by the way, this is not to say that we didn't obviously criticize George, on our side, George Bush, but guess what? We were right
mm-hmm.
about Iraq. And for us to continue like, oh, there's, you know, it's just both sides have different opinions. No, there is no more opinion on whether Iraq was the right thing to do, right?
And it's an apples and oranges. George Bush lied, and we were criticizing his policy retroactively when it became apparent he lied. That's a different thing than this. This is apples and oranges. The bottom line is we're in the midst of a crisis. When we got attacked on 9/11, nobody was bashing George W. Bush. We got behind him as a
yep.
And
yep.
anybody who dared, I mean, you look at what happened with the people who came out when we invaded. They were immediately
right.
eviscerated.
No, and you know what, Greg, George, or Rude Pundit made some of these same points. When, you know, we have this, like, both sides are the same, and both sides. No, they're actually not.
Right.
You know, we, and you know, again, we can have a different opinion. Should we have prosecuted the Bush administration, whether it's for Iraq or for torture? But we didn't, thinking, okay, we're going to just, you know, move forward as Americans. Well, look at what they've done in the meantime. How many they're suing the president, how many grounds for quote unquote impeachment they've thrown out that are like ridiculous, you know?
There was a point made the other day that it was a byline. It was a 19-page story on the New York Times that Congress was suing the president of the United States. And impeachment has now just become no big deal. I remember 1973. I remember when Nixon was impeached, it didn't get any bigger than that. And,
yeah.
You know, now
sorry, honey, heartbreak here. But, yeah, I mean, and after 9/11, good example.
Right.
You know, we all stood behind George Bush. It's that there is one party that is different. I'm sorry. 29 minutes after the hour, right back.
Stephanie Miller.
No offense, but you don't exactly know what you're talking about. I mean, you're not exactly a fountain of political knowledge yourself.
No.
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to
only
it.
When you're drunk.
I still make more sense than Sarah Palin on her best day.
Oh, I can't believe that.
34. We'll play that again just to redigest it.
We'll play it for Rick Overton, like, see what he thinks.
Like bird vomit.
Yeah.
Okay, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Hi, Charles.
Oh, Stephanie.
Hello.
I'd be the dog and cat rescuing, truck driving, teaching individual of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Awesome.
Welcome, sir.
Yep, one last thing here for you.
Yay! Okay, go
ahead. Of course, that upsets the dog, but not as much as Sarah Palin talking. But anyway,
yes.
You were curious about Zoroastrianism. It's one of the, and especially the group at Dinsides. They are, they're probably the oldest surviving religion in the world at this time. They're older than some of their tenets. They're part of the foundation of Buddhism, Hinduism. They were around before the Jews, Christianity, Islam, any of that.
Right.
So, and Zoroastrianism believes, and especially with the Yazidi, they believe in that the fallen angels actually have an opportunity to redeem themselves. And the peacock angel that you're talking about was one of those that redeemed themselves.
Right. Right. And so, and obviously the Islamic militants believe that it's a form of devil worship, which obviously the Yazidis say is not true. And it just, it's really heartbreaking when you look at, here we go again. You know, just after we've been talking about Israel and the Palestinians, it's just, it goes on and on with, you know, how many people are dying in the name of God, right?
Oh, yes. Religion is probably one of the biggest killers of innocent civilians and people throughout history, especially radical religion.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Donald in Illinois. Hey, Donald, welcome.
Hey, Steph. You know, this is cool. Like the gentleman was saying about this, none of this stuff is going on in the media and the American people don't know. Kind of got into it. One of our, one of my fellow workers over here. They're all Republicans, and normally they don't know what I am, but I was in a lunchroom with her by ourselves, and she fired off about Obama, that was blaming him for every little thing, all the wars and not getting back in us, not leaving troops there and getting us back into this war. Well, I couldn't take it anymore because I usually keep my mouth shut about it, so I let her have it. I tried to explain to her that, you know, President Obama, that's what he ran on. He ran on pulling us out of Iraq. And the thing is they don't listen. I mean, I went on to say to her, I says, you know, something, that war had to end. The Civil Wars are not something to get into. And George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, they're the ones that are responsible. They should be in jail. Right away, they start tuning themselves out. She told me I wasn't patriotic, that I should be ashamed of myself because I'm a veteran.
Yeah.
I didn't support the wars.
By the way, Donald, what happened to the whole you never criticize the commander-in-chief at times of war? This is all they've done since President Obama's been commander-in-chief, right?
Oh, absolutely, and I'm afraid that what's going to happen, if they should get in the power, they'll turn everything against President Obama, and they'll have a carte blanche attitude to doing it, whatever it is that they want to do. But, you know, it really gets me, too, with her. I let her have it, and I told her, I said, you want to know something? When she called me unpatriotic, and she knows I'm a veteran, I told her this.
Wow.
I said, you want to know something? You got a lot of nerve. I said, you belong to a party that put in the likes of politicians that pledged their allegiance to Carl Rove and Sheldon Adelson and Grover Norquist. I said these people, they all they want to support is the very corporations, the millionaires and billionaires that supplied her marketer her campaign coffers with cash.
Yep.
She walked out on me. She didn't even give me a chance to explain anymore. They get really angry the minute you go down that direction. They don't want to hear the truth. Her final words to me was, well, maybe you ought to start listening to Fox News instead of listening to MSNBC.
Man, listen, it's happened in my family. It's happened in a lot. You know, it really is sad when you get the feeling that you think things are different today, you know, politically. I think it's not your imagination. I think it is. In fact, you just sent me this, Chris, in the LA Times, How to Lose Friends on Facebook.
That's right.
And particularly with social media now. But doesn't this sound exactly like our show? When you get into the whatever political issue it happens to be of the day, and this was about, you know, Israel and Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
But a recent study from the University of Colorado Denver found that polarizing posts are one of the most frequently cited reasons for unfriending someone on Facebook. And then the guy that wrote the piece just this was just from his particular family. Shortly after Israel invaded the Gaza Strip in 2009, a close Muslim friend I'd known since elementary school suddenly disappeared from my Facebook feed. She'd been excoriating Israel in her posts, and I'd said nothing. Then I posted a statistic showing the number of Hamas-fired missiles landing in southern Israel where my... Oh, I'm sorry, this is a woman that wrote the piece. Where my husband has family. That same day, I noticed my friend had written OMG under my post, and then she was gone.
Wow.
She'd apparently banished me from her online world. Years of friendship ended with a wordless virtual severing. When my husband posted a video with a Zionist interpretation of the founding of Israel, this in response to an animated video advertising the Palestinian version of events, a Christian cousin of his, whom he'd hosted in our home years ago, posted a rant rife with anti-Semitic slurs on his wall. The cousin got an explanation before he was deleted, but he nevertheless was gone from my husband's friend list.
Wow.
The next day, my husband discovered how it felt after a heated exchange on the conflict with a close Jewish friend, sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. He was the one ceremoniously dumped. Perhaps it's time to accept Facebook as a lousy medium for political debate.
Oh, it is. It's a horrible medium for debate.
People seem to be more interested in making statements rather than asking questions or seeking out diverse opinions. And this, I mean, I think, again, we've talked about this before, that I think social media just reflects the reality. And maybe, you know, we talked about this with May, rather than the reality being different. It's just we have different sort of megaphones now. But anyway.
Megaphones that aren't particularly suited to debate.
Right.
Yeah, how can you debate someone in 160 characters?
Right, well, we were talking about the girl that posted the selfie in front of Auschwitz, and you're like, okay, are we just, because we have gadgets, are we bigger holes, or were we always holes, but we just didn't have the technology?
Right.
You know, there wasn't Instagram and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but she writes, as much as we like to think we enjoy pluralistic feeds with multiple views, our quote-unquote friends tend to be those with whom we agree. The rest we shed. And this is what, you know, what he was talking about. And that's sad for America. Mm-hmm. You end up only having friends, whether it's Facebook or other, that believe everything you believe.
Yeah.
But anyway, she says the Israel-Hamas quagmire won't be solved with posts meant for narrowly self-selected crowd of people who share our views. In times like these, Facebook becomes a bizarre cultural Rorschach test. And it's by the way, here's the other thing I learned about social media. Sean Hannity's very, very touchy.
He is. He's a little touchy.
As you know, I've just become a mom at a swim meet on Twitter. I just retweet and favorite and just go, God, look what you did.
You hand out participation ribbons like they're Werther's.
Look how smart and funny you are.
Oh, Lord.
Rather than having, what's that I'm thinking of? Oh, an original thought.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll get back to that. I blew my Twitter wad early. But, I did, last time I was on CNN with Carly Fiorina, I did get into it with some trolls, because that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now I just, whatever. But Sean Hannity, so did you see this picture? He really does look like he's tonguing Netanyahu.
Giving him
a reach around.
Yeah, a wet willy.
Right. Well, and also I don't know what his other hand's doing, but. Twitter also, by the way, is just, it's where immaturity thrives, which is, that's why I like it. Because, I think the one troll that was particularly pesky after CNN, we just got, and then all my girl gang, Audra, and everybody got into
Julie. And,
we just got into a tiny penis contest with just like one tiny penis joke after another. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, because it started because somebody said, because I was talking about the Hobby Lobby decision on CNN, and they were like, wouldn't you buy your own birth control pills? And I said, yeah, because as a 52-year-old lesbian, that's a really huge expense, you moron. Okay, so someone on the Twitter wrote, Alex Keaton, yo, that's a pretty small you have there. That's what they posted about.
They called Sean Hannity Alex
Keaton?
Right,
but so Sean Hannity himself got into it. He said, you are a sick, twisted pervert. And then someone else tweeted, so what sweet nothing did he whisper? Us liberal, dumb liberal asses probably don't want to know anyway. Sean tweeted back, if I told your dumb liberal ass the truth, you would flip.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, now that now you do want to know. Then someone else said that the caption is, last night I gave you an STD, and Sean Hannity said you need to stop projecting.
Hmm. That's basically, I know you are, but what am I?
Slightly homophobic. Yeah, exactly. He's
he's not good at the comeback.
No, it's the Pee Wee Herman
version. I'd like to see him up on stage handling hecklers.
Right.
See what happens to him then.
He's Pee Wee Herman on Twitter.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good job, Sean. Something is going on with the universe, though. Laura Ingraham started to make some degree.
For a little bit.
A little bit?
For a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay.
We're almost in an impossible situation, right? The American people really have no appetite for America to reengage. They didn't want us to go into Syria. Obama did want to go into Syria. That red line was crossed. We couldn't go in. The American people said no. The British people said no. After Iraq and Afghanistan, our own country, you know, middle class struggling, people are, what are we going to do? What are we going to accomplish?
Hmm. Wow. So she just didn't reflexively bash the president?
Right.
Huh. Let's chew on that for a minute.
I don't want to.
Okay. And President Obama, one more time before we break here. President Obama on the...
We should have learned a lesson from our long and immensely costly incursion in Iraq. And that is that our military is so effective that we can keep a lid on problems wherever we are if we put enough personnel and resources into it. But it can only last if the people in these countries themselves are able to arrive at the kinds of political accommodations and compromise that any civilized society requires.
Yeah, so it needs to be a partnership.
Yeah, by the way, and I'm glad he pushed back on this reporter here.
Do you have any second thoughts about pulling all ground troops out of Iraq, and does it give you pause as the U.S. Is doing the same thing in Afghanistan?
Yeah, you know what I just find interesting is the degree to which this issue keeps on coming up, as if this was my decision. The reason that we did not have a follow-on force in Iraq was because the Iraqis were, a majority of Iraqis did not want U.S. troops there. So that entire analysis is bogus and is wrong, but gets frequently peddled around here by folks who oftentimes are trying to defend previous policies that they themselves made.
Yes, thank you. Thanks to Mic Drop. Bam. 46 minutes after the hour.
It's just called Mic Drop. There's no gangsta in front of it. Because more than just gangsters do that.
Okay. 46 minutes after the hour. You know who else I bet does it? After
who?
A particularly good comedy set? Rick Overton.
He might.
I see a car. It means he might
do
be
you?
Here. Mm-hmm. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. I was correct. It was the Rick Overton car. And how? Here he is. Comedian extraordinaire Rick Overton live in the studio.
Live? Good morning, my mooks, my loves.
Just finished nuzzling Fred's Fred finished nuzzling your beard.
What tells you that?
Fred thinks you are his father.
And it was your birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And you're going to be on the TV tonight.
TNT's Murder in the First.
New series by?
Stephen Bochco. Oh. Really good words.
You're
the
so
good
fancy.
Stuff.
You are so fancy.
You could tell from the way I'm dressed.
Exactly. Well, welcome. As the world is imploding.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's
very slow news
parts
cycle.
Of it.
get nice in like an hourglass, all problems just sort of hourglass spill over to another spot. You know, this just seems like whatever the war is, it just grazes and moves on.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it looks like what's the this morning, Chris?
Oh, there's a ceasefire.
Yeah, it's holding for the moment.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll last in Israel. That's,
Right. And yet we remember back in times when there were real efforts to do that.
Right. To actually, when I mean Rabin.
We were raised in an era when those people were really reaching and trying to work.
Exactly.
A different angle than the missile one. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It really, that's what's kind of heartbreaking. I have a friend who parents actually live in Israel part of the year. And right. I mean, when you look back, like, whether it was Rabin or whoever, I mean, they really were. We've said this, but I don't think either side right now are partners for peace, Hamas or Likud, and it's heartbreaking.
You realize you're talking about the right-wing side of every place.
Yes.
And, like, no one's noticing maybe a recurrent theme in that idea.
Yes, I am noticing that.
Yeah.
Senator John McCain on cue criticizing the president yesterday on
these
CNN.
People that are coming to fight on the side of ISIS are returning to their countries in Europe, and there's 100 of them that we are tracking in the United States. As I mentioned to you already, one was in Syria, came back to the United States, and then went back to Syria and blew himself up. Mr. Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, when he left our Camp Buka, the camp in Iraq, said, see you in New York. Their goal, as they have stated openly time after time, is the destruction of the United States of America.
Hey, you know how they could have gotten to America? They could have just hitched a ride back home with John McCain after he snuggled with them in Syria.
Hello. Hey, yeah, is that Photoshop or is he actually standing with those people?
Actually standing with those people.
Oops. Right. That's back when he was saying they're the moderates that we should be.
Same. Those are the exact same people we're.
Right. That would have been a good way to get back, right, Chris? I'm sure they could have hopped a ride in his plane back to America.
They sure. Those guys sure have a bad memory for things that have been on camera.
Exactly.
The internet has an excellent memory.
But this is what I keep saying that irritates me even more than him. They just keep booking him without any context about the last time he was on and was wrong about everything. There's no context for, because they won't get him booked again. But at what point does it serve the public interest to keep having the same people that were wrong about stuff? I mean, it
seems like the media has accident forgiveness.
Sandy in California, you're on with Rick. Hey, Sandy.
Hi, I just want to say thanks to all of you for starting my day off with a laugh and also for making me feel better about walking precincts for Goldwater and your dad.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, thank you for bagging those two or three votes for us. We appreciate it.
President Obama's rating is so many people have no clue what's happening. I have a friend who was complaining to me that her unemployment benefits were cut because of Obama.
Ah, right.
You know, and I talk politics and religion at the drop of a hat, and I went on a rant, of course, about how it wasn't Obama and how he's trying to help people. But people just simply don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Well, that's what we were talking about, Rick. We were just talking about before the break, you know, Facebook or that you know, we literally are filtering people out of our lives, I guess, that don't believe exactly what we believe. There was a study about how many people get unfriended for saying, because Sandy, it's like what you're saying. When you just watch Fox News, you just hear what you want to hear. But half the time, it's not the truth.
Right. I know, but they're not even Republican because they brag about not being interested in politics. And I keep telling them, when you have no Medicare, when people have no food stamps, you have no unemployment benefits, you know, and then, but it doesn't matter who's in charge.
Right. Yeah.
You know who says the both sides are the same? The losing side says that.
Yeah.
They'll take the other side down with it.
Yeah, which they've,
It's the, like when Predator knows he's dying, he opens that little panel on his arm, he's going to blow the whole place
up.
That's I'll always go to one of those weird geek references because that's my file.
That's why we love having you in.
You know what? Later today, there's going to be people sitting in their cubicles going, Sunday shows have accident forgiveness. That was good. That's good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It's, but you're absolutely right. That, and by the way, I overstated. Did I say that Fox News wasn't telling the truth half the time? I was being really overly generous there.
And here's how you know that the jokes about Fox News are accurate. They keep getting laughs. And you need to have an accurate bouillon base of reality at the very core of it before you build anything else on top, or the joke simply won't work. And how come all the Fox News jokes work? Guys, eject. That bird's on fire.
Right,
eject.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. Senator Lindsey Graham.
My stars.
In full vapor mode.
His responsibility as president is to defend this nation. If he does not go on the offensive against ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call these guys, coming here. This is just not about Baghdad. This is just not about Syria. It is about our homeland. And if we get attacked because he has no strategy to protect us, then he will have committed a blunder for the ages.
Because, you know, it's never tough enough for Lindsey Graham. I sense that he needs John McCain to kill bugs for him. I'm just saying. I just think he's on chairs a lot in the Senate. John! Okay.
He's a nasty, 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 nasty man.
58 minutes after the hour.
Remember that?
Rick Overton live in
live
studio as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. Rick Overton isms already rocketing about the interwebs. Matt retweeted your, you know who always says both sides are the same? The losing side. Rick Overton, hashtag truth. The Sunday shows have accident forgiveness, right? Did I say already being? The reviews are in.
And speaking of Sunday morning shows, Politico is reporting that it looks like that David Gregory is going to be replaced by Chuck Todd.
Oh, I was going to say not the bowl of oatmeal that we had previously speculated. And will there actually be a difference?
I couldn't say. Gluten. There's a difference in gluten.
They thought oatmeal would be too opinionated, so they were thinking about cream of wheat.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank God we have Rick Overton, only been here, a couple of minutes already?
Yeah.
Two brilliantisms that are rocketing around the Twitterverse.
That's right.
And he made some complimentary reference to our show that involved some geek reference that I wasn't sure I got, but something worth a...
That's my file.
Okay, well, what did you say? I can't remember.
The Ice Planet Hoth.
Oh!
Ice Planet. Oh, yes. Now things are kind of, you know, you are at philosophical war right now, and they are stomping in with the giant walking things. And
the AT-ATs,
and we're trapped here in our ice station, the Rebel base.
Uh-huh.
And Darth Vader, you know, but watch to the end of the movie. We keep winning, except for the middle one, but we're not at that one. No, I don't want to use that one. Forget that reference.
Yeah, all right, that's you've been referencing Empire Strikes Back. That's the one where the rebels
lose. No, that's not the one I was going for.
Okay.
The third one where the whole thing blows up is what we're coming closer to now.
All right,
okay, forget the ice station one. We're in the jungle one, okay?
All right. All I know is you always make me feel better somehow. Me hanging on by my fingertips, barely surviving in my little basement studio.
As long as we don't have to cut open a tauntaun and crawl into its carcass to keep warm, we're fine.
He always makes us feel important.
Yes.
Like we are doing something important. When really, when Rick is not here, we're pretty much reduced to Helen Keller jokes.
Yeah, that's what
we did. Let me explain how this happened, Rick. Let me explain how this happened. First of all, 3 hours to fill every day. Secondly, because of Ebola.
Right.
Sadly, somehow somebody started with the leper jokes, which was wrong because we were talking about weird, scary diseases that we thought were gone and are not.
Yeah, like what do you call a leper in a hot tub? Chowder.
Right. Okay. So see. Okay. See, now it's going to start again, and
basil.
Then I have no idea.
We call him Basil.
How we got from there to Helen Keller jokes, but you know what it is? The world is imploding, as we know. Anywhere you look. So we just.
Yeah.
We need to go dark. We need to go, Lowbrow. Oh, by the way, and then...
Tonight, let it be lowbrow.
And then macaroni.
Wow. I don't even think they make that anymore,
wow,
do they?
Tonight, oh, my God. Tonight.
Let it be lowbrow.
Let it be lowbrow. Okay. Here's the good thing. As low as we went, now Macaroni and Marian Ann Arbor and Rocky Mountain Mike have made a tribute to us joking about Helen Keller.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Steffi uh-huh, Miller. Uh-huh. Catholic girl gone bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
May uh-huh. Lee. Call me. Uh-huh, uh-huh. More clouds in my nose. Lots of pain from Ukraine to the West Bank. Coming down with Ebola. With the bad news we gone. In anticipation for a flatuation. Box one for the rainy day. Mac. Rap man is back, walking on sunshine, Marian Ann Arbor, where you at?
She jokes afar, and the world seems lit apart. That's why we need to bear her fresh being a next share. Because when the show is on, we shine together. Right wing trolls seem to talk forever.
See? Take your mind off the horrors of the world for just a moment.
What's a Helen Keller joke?
Thank you. Thank you, Mary and Mac.
Helen
and
Keller,
Rocky
a person who had very reduced sensory usage and still figured out everything.
Right. And what's
still
the
had
one?
It all
Let's
figured
just
out.
Get it out of your system, because then I'm going to go on the Twitterverse and write.
How did she burn her cheek?
She answering the iron.
How did she burn the other cheek?
Answering a...
They called back.
They called back?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's turn to future husband stack. Jesse right. sends me a future husband from Massachusetts. Massachusetts homeowner was arrested Monday for open and gross lewdness after passing motorists spotted him, leaf blower in hand, doing yard work in the nude.
Oh.
I think a blower does not mean what you think it means.
Yeah, well, I'd better make sure you had one or two leaves just sort of taped down there, maybe, you know, Adam. There's.
Are you going to ask the question, was there
alcohol involved?
Yes, yes, there was.
Computer says, yeah.
Yes. He was intoxicated and belligerent toward the police. Because in America, why can't a man leaf blow nude
if he
wants to?
He just sounds like a mean drunk, that's all.
That's right. Did they check to see if he's also on an antidepressant of some sort? That's that extra layer of decision making. that Ambien, get in your jammies and with one eye open start screeching off the Vegas.
Right.
Kind of decision, you
right.
know?
Right, right. There's
an added dream aspect. Hey, man, hey, I had this weird dream that I was like on my lawn and I was like nude and I had a leaf blow. What? Hey, where am I? What the? It wasn't a...
It's not a dream.
What the?
That's funny. Extra ambient layer of decision making.
Exactly.
Okay. It's another Overtonism.
Right. There are mean drunks, and there are
right.
kiss every gay guy in sight drunks.
Yes. I don't know who you are referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. okay, so one of the Overtisms, you said, you know who says both sides do it, the losing side.
Yes.
I was glad President Obama made this distinction. He did an interview, right?
With the New York Times?
Yes.
Thomas Friedman?
Mm-hmm.
Ideological extremism and maximalist position is much more prominent right now in the Republican Party than the Democrats. Democrats have problems, but overall, if you look at the Democratic consensus, it's a pretty common sense mainstream consensus. It's not a lot of wacky ideological nonsense. And by the way, it generally is fact-based and reason-based. We're not denying science. We're not denying climate change. We're not pretending that somehow, having a whole bunch of uninsured people is the American way.
I don't know if you've read this whole interview, but it was some good stuff. It basically goes to what we were just talking about, mm-hmm. Chris, and we were talking with you, Rick, about how polarized we are. And I was just saying that, you know, back, I don't even know when exactly it changed, but there used to be that thing about we speak with one voice as Americans, that politics ends at the water's edge, we can have our disagreements, but what I was saying I think weakens us in the world the most is that people around the world know that this, the other party in this country is going to criticize our president more than they will. That no matter what he does, he will not have support, political support at home from the other side.
And should a Republican win? Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Batten your hatches, guys.
Yeah.
But you want to see what this looks like if another Republican wins, in which we may not have the opportunity to do it if another Republican
right.
wins. But just as saying, if you want to take a high road or a low road, history is going to show, like, what actually happened here.
Right.
Because all you'd need to do is count numbers. You got mad that he went away for a certain amount of days of vacation. You weren't mad when, just check the numbers. Simply look at a reference file.
Right.
You're mad at smaller numbers, and everyone has to assume
right.
that
whether
if
it's
you're mad at it not being the same amount as the previous guy, then you have another reason why you want
right.
this to happen.
Whether it's vacation days or executive orders or, you're right, any of it is filibusters. It is, you're right, it's provable with the numbers, which is...
Just check the record. It's right there. You have a phone that accesses everything. You have to want to avoid that answer to not get it.
Right. And the president made this point in this New York Times piece, which I loved. He said, the president views the biggest threat to America, the only force that can really weaken us, is us. And mm-hmm. he said, we will never realize our full potential unless our two parties adopt the same outlook that we're asking of Shiites, Sunnis, Kurds, or Israelis and Palestinians, no victor, no vanquished, and work together. And, I mean, that's what's incredible when you're dealing with all these hot spots around the world.
Right.
And I thought, and you know it before they even say it. Like John Boehner, you always know two things. He's going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to find a way to undermine the president, even if he... And he was saying in the statement he supports what the president is doing.
Right.
But there's always got to be a but. But he's doing it wrong.
Wrong.
Right.
How do you make Orange run?
How?
Make John Boehner cry.
All right. Thank you. The president went on to say, our politics are dysfunctional and we should heed the terrible divisions in the Middle East as a warning to us. Societies don't work if political factions take maximalist positions. That's what he was just talking about there. The more diverse the country is, the less we can afford to take maximalist positions. Anyway, and then I thought this was really good. He blamed the rise of the Republican far right for extinguishing so many potential compromises. Obama also acknowledged that gerrymandering, the balkanization of the news media, and uncontrolled money in politics, the guts of our political system, are sapping our ability to face big challenges together more than any foreign enemy. And he said increasingly politicians are rewarded for taking the most extreme maximalist positions. And that's exactly, I think, what's happened. Because I'm just saying, in any previous day, I'm not going back to my dad and Goldwater's day, even when Bush was in, we actually did reach compromises and get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
This is new.
Yeah, well, and enough people are noting that this is a completely different set of behaviors that, you know, it's like a passive coup in a way.
Yeah.
Is just slowly weeding people that all just read a memo and start doing something weird off that email and all start changing the meme. This is a battle for memes, too. It's really a battle for how we perceive every single bit of it.
I was, you know, it's interesting. Was it Lindsey Graham, Chris, we just played? Ann McCain, mm-hmm. of course, talking about, you know, how they're going to come here and if we get hit here. One of our callers was saying, do you remember after 9/11? Everybody stood behind the president. The difference is, do you think it'll be the same if, God forbid, there is? I mean, listen to Lindsey Graham again. This is how they criticize everything he does. Can you imagine if we had another attack on our soil?
His responsibility as president is to defend this nation. If he does not go on the offensive against ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call these guys, coming here. This is just not about Baghdad. This is just not about Syria. It is about our homeland. And if we get attacked because he has no strategy to protect us, then he will have committed a blunder for the ages.
You know, if they had at least the intellectual honesty to say, by the way, we should mention the worst intelligence failure in our history happened on George W. Bush and Dick Cheney's watch, you know?
Yeah, like, right. It's just emotional acting.
Yeah.
I do that.
I'm
really concerned about something, and I really need you to listen to what I'm saying now, but I'm not sure what that is. I'm waiting for it to come into my earpiece, so I'm just going to keep doing this until they come back from the bathroom. I hear him peeing.
Where can we see some of that emotional acting?
TNT tonight, Murder in the First.
Stephen awesome. Botchko series.
That's right.
Stephen starring.
Botchko's
you're the,
words.
You're a good guy
so
this
good.
Time.
I'm a good guy this time.
You were a bad guy
NYPD
last time.
NYPD Blue, I was a bad guy, but I'm back on a Botchko show. So happy woo-hoo. About that. It's just the one episode, but it's a great episode. So
awesome. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along with Rick Overton live in studio.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Comedian extraordinaire, Emmy winner, Rick Overton, live in studio with us.
Thanks for having me on. Love you.
All right.
Love you too.
What are, you know,
love
some
you
of
right
the
back.
Games that the kids play, like Dead or Canadian? You know, there's a lot of games.
Uh-huh.
So, what are we calling this, Chris? Drunk or just dumb Alaskan?
Yeah.
Drunk or crazy?
Right. Sarah Palin. Just saying, because when you see John McCain on the Sunday shows being asked for his judgment on anything, remember that he was going to put her a heartbeat away from the presidency. I'm sure the Iraq situation would have been much more easily solved.
Sure.
Okay, so are you ready to play?
I'm ready. Let's try.
Drunk or just dumb Alaskan? Okay, here she is.
We believe... Wait, I thought fast food joints? Don't you guys think that they're like of the devil or something? That's what liberals, you want to send those evil employees who would dare work at a fast food joint that you just don't believe in. Thought you wanted to, I don't know, send them to purgatory or something. So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know. They're not often discussed in purgatory, are they? I don't know. Why are you even worried about fast food wages? Because
the guy in the van.
Oh, my God.
Is her handler in the van that's feeding her in it? Like, no, 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 no! What are you doing? She's off the reservation, sir. I know that. I'm trying to get her back on the copy. Get back on the copy. What are you doing? What are you doing? Who controls her pill intake? What did you? Were you watching her? Do you let her go to the bathroom? You let her go into the store? You idiot!
You know what? It is become like Bruce Almighty. It might be Jim Carrey in her ear. It's like, wait. Did she actually say what I just said? Really? We are that close to that.
That was Carell. Magic between him and Carrey, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for round two? Well, this would actually be round one because this preceded it. This was the speech in Denver.
Yeah.
Drunk or just dumb Alaskan? Here we go.
It is nice to be back in the Mile High City. I just think it's absolutely beautiful. Flying in, you know, we're over your snow-capped hills.
It takes less time
to land.
I
think you call them mountains. Flew in from Alaska.
Huh? Snow-capped hills.
So gorgeous, yeah. Step off the plane. Todd reminds me, we're in Colorado. Don't inhale.
It's a pot joke. Okay.
Yeah, don't breathe at all.
So the president was here last week, too, huh? He was getting his Rocky Mountain high on. Busy week for him. Spinning from one scandal to another scandal. Must have had some vertigo.
The vertigo.
The Middle East exploding in chaos at this time in our open border crisis. No time to visit the border, but time to shoot some pool and wet his whistle and grin real big for those hicky photo ops that he just really, really hates. And he raked in big bucks at big parties with fat cats. His term, not my term. This in a border state, he was. The president so disparages these cats. In public, but in private, there's a whole lot of cuddling and purring and tummy tickling with the one who feeds them.
Okay, so...
She's a jolly drunk when you pull some of the oxygen out of it.
Right.
She's much more
altitude
cheerful on
could have
this
been
one.
Alcohol
that,
and altitude.
Now she's just teetering on the edge of consciousness, you know. That's then she's the life of the party. She's hilarious then, you know.
They sort of seem like just random thoughts with no sort of actual sentence construction, right? They're just kind of...
Right.
Yeah.
Then we think he's got probably socks. He's probably got a whole drawer full of socks, liberal socks, and then... There's probably, you know what, there's probably dessert involved, you know.
She is this close to Nell. In a minute, we're just going to pick up here. When?
Right.
Something that only, like, really extreme right-wing lunatics even understand.
Right.
Her language.
She's pre-verbal.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Rick Overton on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller continues to be the engorged whitehead on the otherwise flawless face of Universal Media.
All right, I just realized what Rick Overton's impression of Sarah Palin reminds me of. His brilliant bit about how after men have an orgasm, they get bobbly baby head. Sounds.
Yeah.
It's not really even. Some are identifiable words, but
she's going pre-verbal. the brain, her brain is shutting off in rows like warehouse lights. Ta-da!
Chunk,
oh, that's
chunk,
where.
Chunk,
that's what I'm talking chunk. About today. Chunk. Oh, where I live. Cha-da. Oh, my mom's name.
Oh, you are magic, sir.
Yes, you are.
Oh, and then your other favorite pet peeve you were talking about is when right-wingers say, they'll just say something horrifically, you fill in the blank,
hey,
homophobic, racist.
You want to turn a cat into a dog? How? You coat him in gasoline, you hit him with a match, and he goes, woof. What's the matter? I thought you liked jokes.
I thought you're a comedian. How come you're so sensitive?
Yeah, what are you so sensitive about? It's not like I really did that yesterday. I mean, that I really did it.
All right. Wow, things just took a dark turn there.
Yeah,
for a moment.
Well, thanks for setting it up.
Go back to baby head. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I was talking about the president's interview in the New York Times, mm-hmm. and I just thought, somebody called earlier, Rick, they're just like, I'm so sick of these. Everybody's an armchair general, right? Everybody's yeah. like, oh, I would have done this, and this would have happened. You know, these issues are so complex, and particularly what's happening over there. And as somebody was, one of our callers was talking about earlier, this started, if you got to blame one family, you should blame the Bush family for what's happening in Iraq going back to the Bush the elder, right? I mean, it's
Bush
just...
Bush senior, yeah.
Right. In terms of, you know, what's going to happen in all these complex situations where there's been these rivalries for, you know, generations. Anyway, but they asked him, wouldn't things be better had we armed the secular Syrian rebels early or kept the U.S. troops in Iraq? Because this is just, everybody's got a fill in the blank. The president did this wrong, or
mm-hmm.
he should have done
sure.
this, or, yeah.
And none of these are their ideas. This is all completely media fed. Now go out and pretend it's your idea. Here's
right.
your mission.
Right.
Try to act like it's what you really think, because you have no idea. So just
right.
take this, because you don't know, and use this instead, so you can act like you're tough and right about something, and
yeah.
superior about it. And remember to come in like you own it.
Yeah. The president said, in Iraq, a residual U.S. troop presence would never have been needed had the Shiite majority there not squandered an opportunity to share power with the Sunnis and the Kurds. Had the Shia majority seized the opportunity to reach out to the Sunnis and the Kurds in a more effective way and not passed legislation like de-Ba'athification, no outside troops would have been necessary. Absent their will to do that, he said, our troops sooner or later would have been caught in the crossfire. that's what I don't get. So their plan, John McCain and people like that, mm-hmm. just to stay there forever? Just, I mean, he said with respect.
The point is to have bases there.
Right. He said, with respect to Syria, the notion that arming the rebels would have made a difference has always been a fantasy. The idea that we could provide some light arms or even more sophisticated arms to what was essentially an opposition made up of former doctors, farmers, pharmacists, and so forth, and that they were going to be able to do battle not only a well-armed state, but also a well-armed state backed by Russia, backed by Iran, battle-hardened Hezbollah was never in the cards. I mean, it is just stunning. Like Mitt Romney saying, if he somehow we magically had the good taste to elect a man named Mitt, he would have somehow, everything would have gone differently, you know, in these complex yeah. situations.
Yeah, it would have gone differently. It would have been even worse.
Right.
Well, McCain also wants perpetual war because Raytheon is one of his top contributors.
There you go. You get a participation ring.
Thank you.
Follow the money.
Exactly.
Military-industrial complex. There's not all of them are, but a lot of politicians are simply front desk receptionists for some large funding company.
That's right.
And they just field calls, and you know that's it. They're doing the bidding of someone that when they say they don't want government in your life. Mostly it's those people saying, that's those companies saying that you don't want government right. in your life because that's like a bank robber, you don't want a cop.
You are saying John McCain is the Ernestine of Raytheon. Is that your point?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Harlow in Michigan, you're on with Rick. Hello, Harlow.
I like the comment about Sarah Palin being an absolute nitwit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's had 8 years to polish up and become more cultured and more informed of what's coming out of her mouth. And
right.
Like, oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There is no other phrase to utter other than
oh my God.
When you right? Hair, yeah. back of the neck, could have been president, vice president.
Okay. Now it's like leave her right where she is. Boys, yeah. don't change a thing now. This is good.
Keep having her talk about impeachment, please.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on with Rick. Hello, buddy.
Hey, Mom. It's something that the press, you know, is failed in on. There's at least 30 or 40,000 Iraqi Yazidis alive right now because of the actions the president did and the bravery of our military. I mean, and do you hear him out there taking credit or anything like that? I mean, he stepped forward. The people made the right decisions. It's not going to cure everything forever, but that's a lot of people to save.
Yeah, well, I think it was, you know, it was a unique combination, Rick, I was saying, of circumstance. The president said in this piece, when you have a unique circumstance in which genocide is threatened and a country is willing to have us in there, that's the big key. They invited us.
Right.
They asked for help. You have a strong international consensus that these people need to be protected, and we have a capacity to do so. Then we have an obligation to do so.
And the surgical strike was pretty effective at not hitting as much collateral damage or anything and just hitting the actual objective.
Yeah.
It kind of, that was not bad that way.
And
so,
I think a lot of the
was pretty right. thorough at just hitting an objective and not taking the entire area or neighborhood right. out as a crater.
A lot of the humanitarian aid, right, landed as well. I always worry, how do they know that's not going to hit somebody and kill them? The humanitarian
crate with the parachute.
Right, right.
Yeah,
the
they try to find open fields, but right. I'm sure there's the random frisbeer. Dude. He's got the headset.
Well, and also,
get up for a llama, dude.
How do they know it's aid and not a bomb? You know, if you see something
right.
falling from a plane,
generally a wooden crate with a chute.
Well, yeah, but if something is falling
with a parachute, right?
Well, you know.
You don't usually put a parachute on a bomb.
On a bomb,
right.
I don't know.
So it lands more gently. Do I have to be the armchair general here every morning?
But you know, they live in villages. They don't know whether a bomb falls from a plane with a parachute or not.
I bet they leafleted first.
Oh,
I
hope
often
so.
Do that. Right?
I hope so.
They
that
the
would
thing
be
so they just that don't worry about these crates.
That would be horrible. To just help is finally here, and then you're killed by prepackaged food.
That's kind of Rod Serling-ish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those MREs can be hard. They can hit you on the head pretty hard.
Watch out for three-lettered things.
Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Corky.
Hello, Steph.
Hello.
Yeah, we got a caliphate over here with the Christian right trying to tell women how to live, you know, not to use birth control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all we're doing is fighting the caliphate in the West. We're no better.
Well, you know, I was reading a piece about Uganda and this horrible, you know, anti-gay legislation, Rick,
mm-hmm.
and it Guess where that was imported from? America.
It
was.
Yeah. They studied over here.
It was
here.
Our religious right that brought the notion that, you know, homosexuality was so evil they had to legislate against it, you know?
Yeah. So they can have one place to prove their version works.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Libertarian paradise.
Armchair generals, listen up.
All right.
Do you picture, like, McCain and John McCain and Lindsey Graham? Do they have little army guys? Do they act everything out? Do you think before they go on the Sunday shows, they have, like, you know, laying down, shooting guy, bayonet guy? Here's what I would have done.
Melty from the magnifying glass guy.
Right.
Burning soldier on
and
hand.
Parachute guy.
See?
That was the coveted one.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
I want a stomach guy.
because I know some people said that he did not do this soon enough. Whatever he does, it's wrong. He shot Bin Laden in the wrong eye. It was too much, too soon, too fast, the wrong way. Whatever. So the reason the president said we didn't just start taking a bunch of airstrikes all across Iraq as soon as ISIL came in, because some people were like, oh, it's too...
Why didn't we do this?
Too late. Because that would have taken the pressure off Prime Minister al-Maliki. That would have only encouraged, she said, Maliki and other Shiites to think, we don't actually have to make compromises. That's actually a really good point. We don't have to make any decisions. We don't have to go through the difficult process of figuring out what we've done wrong in the past. All we have to do is let the Americans bail us out again, and we can go on with business as usual. Mm-hmm. The president said that what he's telling every faction in Iraq is, we will be your partners, but we're not going to do it for you. We're not sending a bunch of U.S. troops back on the ground to keep a lid on things. You're going to have to show us that you're willing and ready to try to maintain a unified Iraqi government that's based on compromise. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's just, you would think that most people... Here's the other thing I think is new. Remember how many times we heard during Iraq, why do you hate the troops so much? Why do you hate America? Why are you criticizing Commander-in-Chief?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in John Boehner's statement, remember that? Now they make a distinction between... Oh, the troops, God bless them, but the commander-in-chief is a moron.
Yeah.
That's basically... Right. I'm like, oh, when did this happen now where it's okay to...
Well, because they had nothing they say is something they actually thought in the car on the way over. It's something they hear that is their opinion when they get there, and they just go off on their day and say that thing. That's why no one really has a good defense. They can't put it in their own words. That's why all their descriptions always sound the same.
Right.
They're given a sort of, everyone gets a think tank email of, you know, here's your talking points for the day. And they can't even put it in their own. And the one way you can tell when someone doesn't understand something is they can't put it in their own words.
Yeah. Well, you can tell, Chris, when we used to, back in the day, at faxes. Because you can tell sometimes Sean Hannity would get a smeared one.
Yeah.
And it would come out like bobbly baby head.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. With the shiny paper fax, you could tell us that was like, what is he saying? He's just repeating something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shiny paper rolly fax.
Exactly.
Yes. You could never do those things.
Could not get your talking points straight from the RNC.
Right.
Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments. Rick Overton live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio. Yes, and that Sarah Palin being pre-verbal, also rocketing about the Twitterverse.
That's right.
The brilliance
thank
of Rick
you.
Overton.
No, thank you, and thank you, Sarah. Thank you for making this joke possible.
By the way, I was
with a grant from Sarah Palin.
We did. There was a piece yesterday where we were talking about in the LA Times about how many people are defriending people because of political stuff. Yeah, on Facebook and et cetera. And did we touch lightly on Gaza today? I already got a hate letter from Beth. Good morning. Do you realize you just equated the Likud party with Hamas? Wow, that's pretty bad. Well, what would your father say? All right.
They're both.
They're
both extremists.
I feel like what Rick was saying, as opposed to in the past when they felt like that we were closer to peace and to a two-state solution, that neither of these sides are good partners for peace. I did not say they're just like Hamas. What I said.
This is so much of British Petroleum's doing.
Yes. All I know is that
almost
I am...
after World War II?
Yeah.
Or one.
But yeah, right around the middle of that, everyone got to figure out what Earth really runs on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I know is
we'll
that I am...
We'll manipulate circumstance around that to make sure we have full access while everyone's fighting.
According to my hate mail, I am both a Zionist puppet whose paycheck is signed by a Jew and also a pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizer. Okay. The president's made some similar comments. Actually, in this New York Times piece, and he made a good point when I was talking about how nobody in this country on the other side will support him, and people around the world know that. He said, Netanyahu's poll numbers are a lot higher than mine. And, you know, maybe, like, Israel being under constant threat is why, like, because it was interesting that they were, the Israelis were hugely behind him in this latest thing, but it just, it's something we don't see here, you know, because the other party, the Republican Party in this country, they'll criticize Obama no matter what he does on any front. Anyway, but he said that they, and they were greatly boosted by the war in Gaza, and so if he doesn't feel some internal pressure, then it's hard to see him being able to make some very difficult compromises, including taking on the settler movement. That's a tough thing to do with respect to Abu Mazen. It's a slightly different problem. In some ways, Bibi is too strong, and in some ways, Abu Mazen is too weak to bring them together and to make the kind of bold decisions that Sadat or Begin or Rabin were willing to make, which is what you were saying.
I'm old enough to remember seeing these treaties being signed at a long table, people crying from relief, and, you know, it may not have held forever, but there was a moment of peace there.
Right, right. See, that's where I come by my happy clappiness, too. There was a time, Chris. There was a time, Chris. Listen to your elders. When there was... the world.
Yeah, you're way elder than me.
Anita in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, by the way,
what?
I was going to
say, oh?
What party were you at this weekend at my house?
A memorial service.
Yes, and this is the second one I've had in, like, what, 2 months? This is how you know you're getting old. Everyone you know dies. We're going to have the dead monkey funeral soon.
We are.
Yeah. I have completed my transition into Norman Desmond.
You're going to have all of your silent movie friends around to play bridge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it'll be Travis's job to bring me fake fan mail. Okay. Anita in San Antonio, you're on with Rick. Hello, Anita.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Anita.
You know, the fault of the Bush-Cheney and all this mess in Iraq, it just runs so deep. They're the ones who put in Maliki. And Maliki is a Shia with strong ties to Iran.
Yep.
So when Obama tried to make a deal to leave some troops in there, Iran said, no way. Told that Maliki, no way. So this goes way further than even that, you know, than just the, you know, they made a mistake even going in there. They made a mistake in every decision they made.
Yeah.
As far as Iraq went.
Yeah.
Every step of the way.
Exactly. But
every step of the way. Exactly.
As Rick Overton said earlier, the Sunday shows have accident forgiveness. So they just invite the same people on that have been wrong about everything previously, ever.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what this story we were talking about with Facebook. It just, it's, and it's in my family, it's in a lot of families among friends, but people talking about that things have gotten so polarized, it's like we have our own sources of, you know, media information.
Separate news teams. It's like a sporting event with news. Mm-hmm. And from the right, here comes it. And from the left.
That's what America responds to anymore, right. Unfortunately.
A team has 75 players on one side and 12 players on the other. Good luck, teams.
This is why I had to have this installed in my car.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. The following is a recording of an actual ConStar call.
ConStar, please state the nature of your emergency.
Hey, my brother-in-law is in the car, and he is going on and on about Obamacare.
No. Every small business in America will have to fire everyone.
I cannot seem to control him.
I'm serious. Death panels, biggest tax increase in history.
So we were just going to this grocery store, you know, and I mentioned that my back was hurting. And he just started
in. You know who else had socialized medicine?
Okay, stay calm, sir. Okay. May I ask where your brother-in-law gets his news and information?
Well, I don't know. It's either Fox News or where he hangs out at the body shop.
I don't care. They have to wait 7 hours to see a doctor in Canada.
All right, sir. I'm sending you instructions on how to get to the nearest bookstore.
Okay. You know, I'm not even sure he can read.
That's okay, sir. They have picture books, graphic novels, and videos, too.
Doctors won't take Medicare no more.
Shut up!
With ConStar, if you're faced with neocon logic, you're never more than the touch of a button away from actual thinking people.
Mrs. Constar.
Hello, Constar. I can't get the doors or windows unlocked. My uncle is yammering on about Benghazi.
Mama watched live video. He did not do anything about it.
Would you shut up, Uncle?
You know this is
I'm
true
talking with the Constar.
Oh, you are just okay, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm deploying the passenger side airbag. Hold on.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Is there anything else you need?
No, ma'am.
These were recordings of actual Constar calls. When you find yourself surrounded by life's little accidents, we're there for you. Constar.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's very funny.
Yeah, I mean, what's like the joke you just made earlier about, you know, when you say both sides, you know, who says both sides do it? The losing side. Yeah. And I'm glad the president called that out. He said, you know, he said Democrats are far less extremist than Republicans. If you look at Democratic consensus, it's a pretty common sense, mainstream consensus. It's not a lot of wacky ideological nonsense. And that's... Mm-hmm. You know, before these midterms, Rick, what we got to figure out is why is it on pretty much every issue the majority of Americans agrees with the Democratic position, and yet you're right, they've still sold this both sides do it thing to some degree, right? Or both sides are the same.
Yeah, the both sides are the same meme. It's a meme. People come up with it in a room. They think tank stuff to tell everyone to think. And doesn't mean that it's true just because a lit rectangle told you to think it. Or a thing. And a lot of people, they don't have time to make an opinion.
Yeah.
They're just too busy. Someone, please give me an opinion so I can defend myself out there.
Yeah. I need Brian Kilmeade to vomit it into my mouth.
Right.
Oh.
Right. And then just start to isolate only one kind.
Yeah, exactly. You can see Rick Overton tonight.
Tonight.
TNT. Murder in the First. Botchko.
Steven Botchko series. Rick Overton.
That's
what's
great.
Better
really
than
great
that?
And can we follow you on Twitter, at Rick Overton?
At Rick Overton on Facebook.
Woohoo!
All right, Kathleen Madigan, all 3 hours live tomorrow. That's we right. Love you, Rick.
Love you, too.
All right, see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.